The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash,
a roundtable of Cowboys insiders
dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys.
Now your host, Newey Scruggs.
Media Mash on a Tuesday and a whole lot of work to get to. Let's ride. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com, John Machota of The Athletic. I'm merely Newey Scruggs. So, should we start with John's night? John had a very interesting night. You know, John, I'm glad you had the night you did along with fellow media members, because I didn't have that night and I didn't want to have that night. I did not want to have that night.
But I enjoyed watching John
have it. Exactly. I was living through you, baby. Odell Beckham Jr. decides to go to the Mavericks game, and William and Kate didn't get treated this way so well when they went up to Boston for their appearance here. So the crowd was into it. You guys were there following him. I thought he enjoyed the whole chase of people wanting to talk to him and see what he was going to do.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, that's him, his personality. I feel like he enjoys that. I'll say this, Patrick, though. It reminded me of training camp, where you can just take videos of just about anything. And like, because during the season, I don't think fans realize, like, I'll post pictures and stuff. Fans will be like, oh, I want to see the video. Believe me, if we could take video, I would show you the video. So I was, you know, getting video, whatever. If Odell's talking to Mark Cuban, if Odell's walking over here, whatever. Yeah, I'm posting video. They're going to put him on the big screen. Everyone's chanting OBJ, you know. Sitting there, I mean, I'll take some video of, you know, Luka and stuff. So, no, it was fun. And honestly, I like a lot of the guys that you're talking about, you know, Clarence is out there, Calvin. I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of like a fraternity, if you will.
Paparazzi. Yeah. You guys just turn into paparazzi. The other thing, they turn into paparazzi.
The best is us not telling any.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Well, no, I wasn't really doing a lot of that.
That was Calvin.
We used Calvin. The voices.
We used Calvin last night. And I ain't going to lie.
There was some Clarence in there as well.
But I got on Calvin the most. I was like, really, this is what you've turned into. This is what you've turned into.
She was in there getting his
DFW TMZ.
There's a little bit of a part of it that I enjoyed it from the fact of, all right, well, if he doesn't say anything, I don't have anything I have to write right away.
Right.
So I can also kind of enjoy this pretty good seat to watch Luka Doncic and Devin Booker, you know? And I'm like, this is pretty cool.
It's not a bad gig.
There's just no doubt that he loves the attention. That's why the Cowboys are the perfect fit for him, because of he's very good at marketing. He's very good at playing these things up. And I think the biggest thing is that he doesn't mind it. Like a Jerry Jones,
right.
You know, there are plenty of times after games, and there have been some on the road, but definitely not at home, where there's ways that Jerry can leave without running into us, you know.
Right.
But Odell, and I just think Odell and Jerry are like the perfect fit for each other. The issue you get into, though, and as I'm sure you guys have been talking about plenty on your different platforms, is just the fact of he's not working out for anybody. Mm-hmm. And then the other one for me is everything I just said about liking the spotlight and all of that and enjoying everything the Cowboys have to offer, much like someone who was sitting on the other side of the court from him, Dez Bryant. It makes me look back at how come he's not posting more videos of himself working out. You know, that's usually what players will do when they're getting close coming back from an injury. And so you have that part of it. And then the fact that he's not working out for teams. And then all of a sudden you're just sitting there, you're like, this isn't September anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, your time is running out. And then obviously the report's coming out today that he's potentially won't be ready until January. Then you get into this point where Mike McCarthy wants the team to be playing at its best at the end of December. Now all of a sudden you're going to throw in this huge piece to the mix.
Right.
They're just, I don't know. The picture is a lot clearer now. We have more answers to the test. But there's, I don't know. I can see where both sides are coming from. I just think now more than ever, I feel like there's a really good chance that he doesn't even play.
There's so many layers to this. You peel one back, and then there's two more layers waiting for you to kind of decipher. Because on one note, and I said this on Talking Cowboys this morning, when I floated the idea of signing Odell Beckham Jr. and putting him on IR, because after this Texans game, you got four games left. IR, you're you're sat down for four games, okay, and then at that point, approaching game four, you reevaluate your situation, not only with Odell's health, is he ready for the playoffs, but also where is this team on James Washington at that point, which helps you make the decision in one capacity or another. Also, in doing so, you put yourself in a position where if this is a multi-year deal, which at this point it has to be, right, you remove the chance of you having to revisit this and battle again with the Bills, the Giants, and then the Rams are going to reinsert themselves into the conversation in the offseason for the services of what at that point will presumably be a 100% healthy Odell Beckham Jr., which then will cost you more money at that point. So you could lock him down now, and worst case scenario, you give him, you know, the veteran minimum incentive-laden deal, and maybe you get them back for the playoffs. And hopefully you can chase down the Eagles. You get a bye week, which helps your case, and you don't have an early exit in the playoffs.
So a lot of ifs there,
right,
though, you know?
So it's a whole lot of ifs. That's why I said you peel back one layer, it's two more layers waiting. Or, and there's the aspect of injury, right? What if you don't sign them and, knock on wood, I'm not going to say names because I don't want to jinx anyone, but player X or player Y, your receiver core gets injured. Now you, and at that point, what if Odell is ready physically, but he's not on the team now? It's so much to decipher and kind of siphon through. And that's why this meeting is not a day, not a one-day meeting. That's why they're still up there, still upstairs talking. Well,
the key,
day two.
A key person in all this is Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
If there isn't Jerry Jones, I'd say the Cowboys aren't signing him. They're moving
on.
But because Jerry Jones is part of the equation and how much he wants this to work. You know, he really wants this player. He wants this to work. He wants to have the Cowboys have ultimate success with Odell being on the team and all of the spotlight that comes with that as well. But at some point, you got to sit there and look at it, and that's probably what he's going to have to bargain with. It might have to make a really tough decision.
You might lose Noah Brown next year. Free agency is free agency. You don't know. You still don't know just yet what you're going to get from Jalen Tolbert. So maybe this is more of a later than a now, with the possibility of it also being a little bit of the now. And then you structure the contract based upon those.
Is this news in some ways? I mean, because it's leaked out here. So obviously, and look, you talk about having sources. Nobody's had better sources, you know, around here than Ed Werder the past 25 years. I mean, Ed's pretty good at getting Cowboy information. This is something to drive down the price, or something that gets you closer to maybe where you want it to be if you're the Cowboys. I mean, people just, you know, stuff like this gets out there for a reason here. Could that be the issue? That, hey, look, we want you. We need you this way. Then maybe it drives down the price. Do you think it drives down the price, Kevin?
I don't know. I'm so conflicted with all of this now based on how we've gotten to this point. In essence, yes. But, I mean, it could only benefit the Cowboys in terms of what their price and what they're looking for to have it out on the table. That, look, we have real concerns about your ability to help us right now. So with that being said, how badly do you want to be here? And do you want to be here at the price that we feel like, based on what your situation is, we'll go ahead and take on? If not, then you can go take your chances with Buffalo or with the Giants and see if they're willing to overpay to get you there, and knowing that you may not necessarily be playing for them either. So I think at this point, it's about what does Odell want to do relative to his health and what he thinks he can be, either at the end of this season and into the playoffs, or if he just wants to sit around and wait for 2023 and take his chances there.
To answer your question, if that scenario is what is going on, so that's would be on the Cowboys side. Mm-hmm. Well, here's Odell's side. If you think that's what's going on, work out. Work out.
Facts.
That's all you have to do. Facts. Work out. Work out for them. Work out for the Bills, the Giants, whatever. And it will end all of that, because then you'll put out there, hey, this is what I can do, and you can drive your price right back up. But if you're not working out and you're not confident, I mean, let's be honest. Today, Jerry Jones' most telling answer today was when he didn't really answer right away about where he doesn't really know. I asked him after the game a week and a half ago about, do you know if he can contribute right now, if he can play right now? And he's like, well, that's what we're going to kind of figure out. So if he feels that way, well, then he can work out, and it will put all that stuff to rest. But I think that there's a part of you, when you're coming back from stuff like that, you might not want to work out, because that might show more of the fact that you aren't ready.
Better to leave, you know, better to not move and leave someone in doubt than to move wrong and prove them right, right?
So there's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. This is a great game of chicken. It's a great game of chicken.
With millions of dollars on the
between
line.
Two really big personalities.
Yes. Right. Yes. The funny thing is prior to Odell going on his tour with these three teams, his leverage was through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys were kind of at the mercy of that. Not entirely, not as much as, say, the Giants, for example, with the loss of Wandale Robinson, whatever, because you're talking about a Cowboys team that's averaging, you know, that's first in points per game since Dak returned. And then you talk about a Buffalo Bills team that they don't need Odell, but they want Odell, but the Giants need Odell. So it wasn't 100% leverage to Odell. But you go to the Bills and you don't work out. You go to the Giants and you don't work out. You come to the Cowboys and you won't work out. And now all three of these teams have your medicals. And now all of the doubt has been removed on what your knee looks like. So all three of these teams know, which means now the conversation has to be kind of a come to Jesus moment for Odell to say, okay, look. It goes from, I know my value and I know what I know you want me to be right now. But now we're having this conversation and you got medicals and my MRIs and my x-rays and I can't use the other teams, you know, to kind of leverage against. Now it's kind of like, okay, listen, let's talk turkey. let's talk turkey. It might not be a couple weeks from now like you had thought, but, you know, maybe still December, but definitely 2023. See, that's a conversation that goes from, you know, the reported want of 20 mil down to, are we talking more like 8, 7, 10, lots of incentives. So the conversation is completely different now when you're talking about the money.
When Ed Werder tweeted out, hey, may not be available till mid-January. Well, we got to understand, we say available. Okay, does that mean?
Got to ramp up still.
Right. Has he been practicing come mid-January? Is this the first time he's going to play? I mean, there's a whole lot of unknown. And what have we seen from Michael Gallup the last 3 weeks? It's taken a minute to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was supposed to play, well, I needed one more week in my mind to get myself there. Jamar Chase, he was dealing with a hip, which is different than the ACL, but Steven, he still took one more week. It's like, my mind, I got to get myself here.
Right. Yeah, and which is fine.
Chris Godwin is still getting back to form.
Yeah. You're playing against the Colts last Sunday, and you're trying to work them in the offense, or this Sunday against the Texans. I'll even say week 18 against Washington. You're trying to work them in. You're going to start doing that in a playoff game where you're trying to like maybe force some passes over there to try and get him going. Mm-hmm. I don't like that idea at all. And I can promise you, more importantly than anything I have to say, Mike McCarthy will not like that idea.
Mm. And so that's my – and I know we've all talked about it before. My hesitancy about this whole the Odell Beckham Jr. deal has all been about the contract. But now, even just hearing this more, mid-January, I don't know if I can get in on that.
Right, because you even mentioned, you say, how it drives down the price. But yeah, what if even that's too much? Because what if you don't get anything from him even next year? What if the knee isn't all the way back? Now, these are a lot of ifs. He's 30 years old. It's not like he's 40, and it's not like he's a freak athlete. I'm pretty confident he's going to come back from this. But what if he doesn't? There is that what if when you are still tying up money that you know that it's going to be tight with CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons down the road, and you want to do anything to jeopardize that. So even if the number has come down, it still can get to a point where even that's too much.
Yeah. You can't.
Maybe you give him the money. I mean, there's ways to finesse this, because if Noah Brown does indeed walk, then the monies that you would have provided Noah Brown, then that basically slides over cap-wise to the 2023 version of Odell Beckham Jr. And then, of course, it's a league of attrition, so you're going to have some contracts that either expire going into the offseason and or get clipped going into the offseason, and then you combine that with the fact that the salary cap is, in fact, going to go up quite a bit next year. So, I mean, you have ways that you can finesse it, is what I'm saying. And I do – the what-if is 100% valid. It's a huge what-if, second torn ACL, and in this repair of that particular ACL, it was discovered that the first repair needed repair, right? So you have some red flags there. But to your point as well, he's 30. Money on the table, I believe you'll get a prime or close to an Odell in 2023. The conversation is, are you willing to eat money in 2022
in order to have him on the roster,
to have him on your roster for 2023? I think that's the conversation. And once you have the answer to that, that's the answer for if he's going to be here or not.
But everything so far doesn't look good.
No.
It does.
If it's
a good thing they don't need him right now.
Right. If it's not the name then you're probably saying, ah, we're good. But people are enticed by this name.
Not even just the name, and, I'll be honest with you. It comes down to what he did last year for the Rams.
What was.
Yeah. You can come in there and literally be the guy that if the knee injury doesn't happen, you're getting not only helping the team win the Super Bowl, you're getting Super Bowl MVP. You know, that's a Rams team. Let's not act like he stepped in and this is helping the Patriots extend their dynasty. This is taking the Rams to winning a Super Bowl, and he got put in their lineup in the middle of a season. So you can kind of see where you're
and Von Miller helped too. So I mean it was
well, of course. Yeah. But I'm just saying that, like, because of that.
You still feel a way about that one, don't you?
I do.
I know it.
I should.
And I should. I caught the jab on that.
Aaron Donald said so.
I caught the jab on that.
Look, what was. That's the beauty of what we do these shows. We spend more time talking about what was and what will be. My big issue right now with what will be is it's too many unknowns. And you can't afford. If you're Stephen Jones, who loves to work around and deal with the cap all the time, you can't make a miss. If you end up giving this young man a contract of significant dollars and you miss, it's going to hurt you because there's too many other people they got to figure out. How do we bring him back? How do we sign him? And who they may need to bring in.
It's just funny how they pick and choose who they decide to do this with. I mean, they signed Michael Gallup to a multi-year deal over $12 million 4 months after his torn ACL. Like, it's just amazing which players they decide to choose.
But let's be honest.
Not really.
Half a decade younger and,
like, I get that,
and one torn ACL.
Oh, but I'll even go further than that. I mean, hey, I don't mean to pull back the curtain too much on all of our jobs, but we don't know everything. You know, we don't know everything about what's going on. I mean, honestly, we talk on these shows and we write like we're like we know everything that like Will McClay knows and Jerry knows and Steven knows. No. We don't know about anything that things that happen off the field, things that happen in the locker room that we don't hear about. Let's be honest, we can use Sunday's game for example. Literally 31 other teams. There's no way anybody would have found out about disciplinary reasons with Ezekiel Elliott. None. Nobody on the team would have talked about it. The coach wouldn't have talked about it. And even if an owner did talk over the game, would not have shared that the way that was shared. It would have just been like, no, we're just trying to, they're trying to work in Tony. It's just different, So that's the only thing I say on that stuff is that they're going to know a lot more behind the scenes than we know. Because we do that all the time with free agents in the offseason. Yeah. Like, sign this free agent. And then you got to find out, they can't play anymore.
But they knew Gallup. You know, that's the thing about all of it. Yes, he got hurt, but they knew him. He
was their guy. His rehab was their responsibility.
And there was also the want to make a match. He wanted to stay here. They wanted him to be here. So
I guess my point is if you want to do the same with Odell, you want to make the match with Odell, then you'll take the risk to do it with all the things that you have to be considered. You'll take that risk if you really want to do it.
Structure it to minimize your risk as much as possible.
Exactly.
But just know that it's impossible for there to be no risk in this situation.
There's risk and there's being risky.
Yeah,
so there's always
true.
That. Yeah. There's that extent. And so that's where I am.
Do you think knowing Jerry and being around Jerry as long as you have, much longer than us, do you think there's a part of him that is kind of wanting to make some type of move like that just because he hasn't really done anything like that recently? Like, there's just an itch he has to scratch.
80 years old and feeling like, okay, I sit here and look at the landscape. Philadelphia, San Francisco, Minnesota, Tampa Bay. I'll take my chances with this squad. So I can see him really wanting to do this. And hoping, he's been in the oil business, hoping that this gusher, maybe it's just maybe I only get a couple little gushes out of this Odell, but it gives me enough gush that gets me where I want to go, he'll do that. The same guy who brought in Charles Haley, the same guy that brought in Deion Sanders, that guy still exists and wants one more shot at it because, looking at just the fact they got more free agents available, you don't know. You don't know. So I do think he really wants it. But at the same time, I think he also got to be somewhat smart about it. Okay, what am I going to get? And if these medicals are a concern the way Ed Werder and other people are reporting, then it's something to think about or at least drives the price down. So it's going to be fun to think about and see where it goes. Let's talk about the current roster next. Take a break here. Kelvin Joseph. Yeah, let's dive into that. Cowboys have lost their... They've lost their starting nickelback, Jordan Lewis. You've lost your starting cornerback and Anthony Brown, and that means Kelvin Joseph's going to get opportunity to play. Yeah. Discussion on the Media Mash next, right here.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf, for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Media Mash.
Here we are in the Media Mash right here from the Star in Frisco at the SWBC Podcast Studios. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com, Kevin Gray, 105.3 The Fan, and John Machota of The Athletic. Baker Mayfield has been claimed by the Los Angeles Rams. Good luck. Good luck running for your life.
That's all you got for him, huh?
Hey, man, that's a bad offensive line. It's a bad team. You know, they're Super Bowl champions, and you know, congratulations for them for going all in and getting themselves a championship. But I don't know if we have ever seen a run as bad as this with the returning coach. I mean, the Giants fell apart after Bill Parcells in Super Bowl 25, but that's because Ray Hanley took over. Yeah, this has been a bad run, man. McVay probably should have went. You know what? McVay probably should have taken that Amazon job. But
injuries tore him up this season.
Donald was thinking.
What are you trying to say? Like maybe like a TV job gives you a quicker path to being a head coach again somewhere else?
Deshaun Payton.
Possibly.
Deshaun Payton method?
Possibly.
Oh, no. Sean's starting to get a little more comfortable, looks like, on television. He might want to.
Hey, look, Sean Payton.
Keep making that free money.
You guys are talking about. I'm sorry. You're talking about people with previous coaching. I was just meant people that don't have any coaching.
Okay. You got something you want to say, John? You got something you want to say, man?
He just said it.
Jason Garrett could be back in the mix. You know.
Where do you think that would be?
Let's ride.
Where the guy.
You know
oh,
what?
Oh, man.
If
the Walton family fell for the Jason Garrett mantra, fight and all that kind of stuff, I'd be very interested. But look, the Broncos had talked about Dan Quinn.
Jason Garrett linking up with your guy, let's ride. That would be funny.
You talk about the two cliche-ish guys. Oh,
they're just fighting.
Both running a campaign of positivity and fight. And,
okay, I'm in. Oh, I want to see
17
that.
17 inches.
Is that what you want to see?
Yeah, I want that now.
You want that now? Oh, man.
No. Slogans and stuff between those two dudes again.
Hey, Beamer, you can make
Cliche City, baby. Cliche City.
Okay, Subway sandwich, 17-inch. Like, yeah, it works.
Where are the Waltons from?
Arkansas.
Okay, where Jason used to coach for a guy that's from?
I mean, look, Jerry said it's a who-you-know business, and, mm-hmm. and he can make a phone call and help him out. But and they, clearly, they need offense. They need. I'm just telling you, and I said it before.
Jason might end up in Indy.
Jason Garrett would do a good job on NBC, and he has. He's good on TV. And people always seem to get sucked into people on TV. They do it. Remember when Rick Carlisle ended up getting fired in Detroit, goes to the booth, bam, next thing you know, he's head coach for Dallas Mavericks, Avery Johns. I mean, this is what people do. Remember John Makovic, man, the guy ended badly at Texas, gets up in the booth, next thing you know, Arizona hires. I mean, just, it's what people
all
do.
All of these people combined have had way more success than Matt Millen.
Hey, look, man.
That will always be my number one that I go to from that. You want to talk about TV
movies? That is Exhibit A.
I mean, that's.
Let me tell you, man. You know,
John List done pretty good. He's done pretty good. You know,
Matt Millen sold him. I was sold on Matt
from
Millen.
From booth to general manager.
A lot of teams were.
I was sold.
He was like
lie,
the hot
man.
Name in that offseason.
You know what?
But I'm bringing up because to your point, that's why. Because he was so good on TV.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean, a bull. You know, he's like John Madden Jr. Right. on TV. That's where they were building him up as. He was going to be the John Madden replacement. Matt Millen was really, really good.
And maybe he would have been if he would have went to like a good organization. You know, if he doesn't go to the Lions, maybe he does have success at a better place.
You know,
but then
they made him
like
president. You know, so that he was like,
oh,
you
he
know,
was really running stuff.
Yeah, he was like, man, I'm an HR. Me, what does HR do? You know, all this stuff.
Same thing with him. Like I make the joke about Jeff Saturday. If I'm those people and I'm doing the exact same. Oh, you want me to do that? I get all that power? Yeah, okay. If it doesn't work out, okay, yeah. It hurts my reputation, but I'm going to still get a chance to do it. I wouldn't turn it down either, but you're right. That TV thing, definitely. I mean, you just see it so many different places. Look at Urban Meyer, how bad everything went with the Jaguars, and
he still got to go back to Fox, and he gets that seat right back,
and he will get another college coaching job if he wants it.
They asked this dude about Matt Ryan's shoulder. Did you see his response?
No.
Oh, my God. He said, you'd have to ask him. I don't ask players about their injuries. I don't talk to players about their injuries. I don't concern myself with players and their injuries. You got you one there, Irsay. Mm. You got you one there.
Okay.
There's a group of people out there who are very ecstatic and happy every time they see one of these losses by Jeff Saturday because they feel like Jim Irsay, the SMU grad, is make a mockery of the profession, but at the end of the day, this is not easy. And Jeff Saturday is finding that out.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how the Colts unraveled in the fourth quarter, that was sad to watch because this is not something we see in professional football every day. I mean, where this thing just truly gets away from you like that. And you know, you got to pull out the heart meter. How many cats in here got some heart? How many people are like, man, screw it, give it up? I mean, that was embarrassing, man. That was embarrassing.
I mean, yeah,
on Sunday Night Football, no less. Yes. America saw
national TV.
It's funny.
America saw
it's
TV.
Funny because after the games, I mean, there's especially covering a Cowboys team that has, you know, that Jerry Jones will talk to us for 15, 20 minutes. So between that, you know, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott at the podium, and then the locker room. Especially on a night game like that, by the time you get up to the press box, your head's spinning with all this different. I mean, you go down there with one thing you want to write about, and then you have five other things that come in there. Right. Like, man, I need to include this, or I need to, you know, whatever. And so, I don't know about with you, but like, it's hard for me to like, you know, include a lot of the stuff from the opposing locker room. Right. So I'll skim through, you know, like the notes at night. Or whatever. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up, most of the time there's nothing great from the notes from the other team.
You're right.
Paris Campbell, Colts wide receiver, after the game. I really couldn't even explain what happened. 1 second, it was 21-19. The next, it was 50-whatever-19. It was a blur. Like, I was like, oh, I will use that.
Yes, I did read that Paris Campbell.
Yeah, I did see that, yes.
Which basically goes back to what I said. This doesn't happen in professional football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just not something we're going to see again, but this is where they have fallen to as an organization, and Jim Irsay as the owners decided to go this route. I don't get it.
All the coaches in the league are happy though that this is happening because if you got lucky and he has success that way, you know what that leads to down the road. Uh-huh. You know how many other people?
Yeah. Who's the next guy off of television? Right. Go get
whatever former
so now
player.
It's the cautionary tale.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's the cautionary tale now.
Yeah, no, you're right. They hope to never see this again. So
you don't think there's any chance he'll be their head coach next year?
How could you? Well, you couldn't justify it now. So I was going to ask, how could you justify that? Hell, you couldn't justify it now. So it's no telling.
Yeah,
it's really no telling.
Here's that very interesting thing, and I would, if I was a friend of Jim Irsay, I'd say this: if you made Jeff Saturday your head coach, How many quality coaches do you think you could get to come here to work with him?
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for sure.
You know, you could get some people to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, for sure. You know,
legitimate, like, hey, yeah, man, I'm rolling with Jeff on this.
Probably former coaches that just want to get back in at one spot or another.
Or he's going to hire a bunch of his buddies.
Right. And I would also say, Jim,
that doesn't happen already.
Go look at what happened with Urban Meyer.
What credibility that is.
When Urban Meyer went to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You know, there were some issues on that staff that he hired down there. I mean, at some point in time, man, you got to ask yourself, how realistic can you get? Look, if I'm Jim Irsay, you call Dan Quinn. Basically, anybody who's got a job open, call Dan Quinn.
He'll be getting a lot of calls.
Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, those are the phone calls you make. Now, Sean Payton and Dan Quinn will probably say no because you don't have a quarterback, but you at least put them on the phone and make them tell you no. But the Colts need some experience, especially after going through this. The people who are coming back next year, get somebody in here who has some experience.
Jason Garrett.
He has experience. Yeah.
And it's a run-first offense.
I mean, who knows? The Colts may clean house.
You don't want them to take Dan Quinn.
I'm just saying it's a run-first offense. Jason has a ton of experience.
I would rather take a guy who's been to the Super Bowl, who's coached somebody who's won an MVP.
But are you letting Chris Ballard
be less expensive?
Hire the next head coach there?
Look, Chris Ballard has done everything to be fired.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they clean house.
I'm going to get a little bored. I'm going to mark off points for each time.
If John Robinson got fired today, which he did, by Tennessee, if John Robinson gets fired, how does Chris Ballard stay hired?
I don't know how he survives.
Okay. I mean, as a general manager now, your job is to get the QB. Mm-hmm. You've neither done it through free agency nor draft. It's all been a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. How do you know that he had all the say on that? Because I've heard otherwise on some
of that. Now, look, Frank Wright wanted Carson Wentz now. He wanted it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, as a general manager, you got to figure it out. I give Pete Carroll all sorts of credit. I can't even remember the dude who was in Green Bay that they gave all that money to, was the backup guy. But they gave him all that money, and then they still drafted Russell Wilson, ended up making Russell a guy.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah. Yes, LSU's Matt Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom, he ended up fixing his quarterback issue, and then trades Russ. There's Geno Smith, figured it out. I mean, some point, your job is to, as a general manager, figure it out.
Oh, I mean, there's no better example for Pete Carroll right now than just, look how Russell Wilson played for me. Look how he's playing now. Look how Geno Smith's played for everybody else. Look how he's playing for me. I mean, it's a pretty good resume.
So Chris Ballard can say that, but overall, yeah, man, you know, your job is to figure it out. And that's what we're judging people by. And if you don't get it figured out, then you know what? Your chances of sticking around may not last. But you better have somebody. I mean, Ron Rivera screwed up with Carson Wentz all day long. I mean, that was terrible.
Just to be completely transparent here, I will say, though, from my perspective, when I go to the combine or other things where there are coaches and front office members and things like that, most of them don't care to talk to the media. Ballard's great with the media. So is Jim Irsay.
It is one reason why.
You can talk to the media and just say some things, or you can like give stuff. You're like, oh, dang, that's interesting. Like, it's a well thought.
Right.
And both of those guys do. And so because of that, I'm kind of like, but then you see the product and then you got to weigh that all in. But that's how you can get sucked in, you know, as a reporter. Mm. We're like, I don't know. This guy seems like he really.
Which is one reason why he's been given grace.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're probably right.
He's been given grace because he's a good
smaller
guy.
Market.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, Urban Meyer was a bad guy. So people ran him out as quick as they could.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chris Ballard, nice guy. But at some point in time, how long do you get to be a nice guy and you're not winning? This is a winnable division.
10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he knew somebody. Remember?
Oh, I was just answering your question.
Yeah, but he knew somebody.
Yeah, I was just answering your question.
I don't know if Chris Ballard knows Jim Irsay the way that other guy did.
That's fair.
And his daddy.
And then his daddy and all that. You know, some people don't have that built in.
I'll just answer the nice guy question.
You don't get much nicer of a guy than Jason Garrett. No, you don't. No, you don't. But it is.
It's not Matt Millen. Don't worry about it.
It's not Matt Millen. So. I just looked at what the Colts did and just overall as an organization. It's just bad. There's a whole lot of badness going on there. And Jeff Saturday's, he's not the problem, but he's a part of the problem. But to me, I think if you blew up everything you had from Caldwell and Napoleon, Okay. If they could get fired, how do these guys stay hired?
Yeah. No, that's true.
You know?
I don't get it. Valid point. Valid point.
All right. Take another break. Boss Man Fat. Yeah, I got to talk about it.
You know the vibe.
Yes.
Oh, everybody knows the vibe.
Yes. We're right back.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash, right here on DallasCowboys.com Radio. We've got Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com, Kevin Gray, 105.3 The Fan, John Machota of The Athletic. I'm Newey Scruggs. So, the Cowboys are in a pickle. When you talk about being contenders and having dreams of making it pretty far, your starting corner, Anthony Brown, is now out with an Achilles. Jordan Lewis, your starting slot, is out. This means Kelvin Joseph, number one in your program, is now going to see major minutes.
And number one.
And about saying now, number one in your heart.
And number one in your heart.
He took the words right out of my mouth.
Go ahead and say that, Nui. Get that out of
here. I'm at DEFCON 5 and worried, man. I'm at DEFCON 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a second round pick. So obviously you thought a lot of him to take him in the second round. So naturally you would be thinking, okay, that was a year ago. This is your time. This is what you take a corner in the second round for, is for when this issue comes up where your starters go down, you have to step up. My biggest concern on the field is that he just doesn't make a lot of plays on the ball. And I'm not saying that Anthony Brown was some interception machine, but and I know a lot of people will torch Anthony Brown when he gives up a big play, but Anthony Brown is without a doubt a better corner than Kelvin Joseph. This is a step down. Now, can he get better with the more reps? That could help. You know, possibly. But this is a big blow for them. This was a position that really wasn't that deep. And then you lose Jordan Lewis and then Anthony Brown. I mean, it's not great.
It's the only position, when you break down the Cowboys roster, they have such an embarrassment of riches in so many other positions. You talk about the defensive line unit, the safety unit, and with the, you know, impending return of Teron Smith, offensive line, which there were depth issues there going into training camp. That's been answered. tight end room is crazy. Four guys, another guy on practice squad.
Linebacker room.
That's
good.
Demone Clark is here. Matthew Barr is back. I mean, the list goes on and on. Running back room, Malik Davis is doing things as well. But the cornerback room is just, it was already thin and it's getting thinner. And I think that those that, similar to what people are about to find out with Anthony Brown, there was a lot of inaccurate assessment of what Jordan Lewis's value was to this team outside of this building. People didn't understand exactly what J. Lew did until he went down. Now, thankfully, you got a talented rookie in Deron Bland able to step in and kind of lessen that blow when you see what Deron is able to do. And obviously, career high two interceptions against Matt Ryan. But then you lose Anthony Brown. And I say that to say you're about to find out Anthony Brown's value to this team, because Kelvin Joseph might have some very real potential, but until that is realized, it is a pretty sizable step down talent-wise from Anthony Brown and what he can do on a consistent basis to Kelvin Joseph. Now, you know, Kelvin is not going to be the only one vying for that job. You got a former fifth-round pick, Nashawn Wright. He's going to have to vie for that position as well. For my money, unleash the Kendall Sheffield. Unleash Kendall Sheffield from the practice squad. This is a guy, a veteran, who's still fairly young. It's a reunion with Dan Quinn. You've had time since signing him in late October to, you know, acclimate him to Dan, to the Cowboys version of Dan Quinn's system in this locker room. You brought him in for depth. Now let's see it. Because I'm of the mindset of the last time I saw Kendall Sheffield on a field, on an NFL field, which was with the Falcons, is better than the last time I saw Kelvin Joseph on an NFL field, which was this past Sunday. So Sheffield, I believe, should be the front runner, but he won't be because former second-round pick. That's going to get you a lot of cachet as far as being the guy to go first. But I'd say keep a really strong eye on Kendall Sheffield. I think that he has the ability to push past both of the young guys.
I don't know. I want to take my chances with the rookie, Deron Bland.
He's already on the field, though.
Yeah. I mean,
he's on the field from the loss of J. Lew. I think that's what some people are missing when they say, oh, well, we'll be fine without A.B.
Yeah, and I think he's better on the inside. I don't think they want to move him. I wouldn't think they want
to
keep
him. And obviously, do you want to move him to the outside to see what you could do with him? I guess that's not necessarily something that you want to see.
You've seen him doing what he's doing.
Right inside.
Tied with Trevon Diggs this season with interceptions.
Yeah.
You don't say, okay, you're doing great there. Let's.
This is why we DEFCON 5, baby.
This is why you feel the way you feel.
I mean, you'll be able to get through these next few games. And you can probably even make it through the rest of the regular season. The concerns where you run into is if, like, for example, the season ends today. You're going first round. You're going to go to Tampa. And Tom Brady is going to just constantly go after Kelvin Joseph.
He's going to draw a circle around him.
Right. And so that's where Sheffield.
Same way Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay when AB went out with a concussion.
So with Sheffield, you know, that's more of a veteran. Maybe that's something that they end up turning to because of that. But like this week, for example, you know, you're a 17-point favorite.
Yeah. These are the two games.
I mean, this is like if TCU plays Georgia, you know, it's not even going to be close.
Don't do that.
Damn,
so
John.
You got Tampa Bay.
I was hoping he was going to bite.
You got Minnesota.
You swerved all the kinds of lanes of traffic to go get TC.
I'm not even going to bite. I'm the dog. I'm not biting that one.
It's true, though.
That's what the line was going to be. If they played in the first game, it was going to be like 15, 16 points.
Yeah, you know, it's true, though. But
that's why we play the games, fellas.
It is.
That's why we play the games.
Well, that game won't be played.
So
they're never going to play each other.
We never know.
That's how you feel?
I mean,
I know.
Yeah. We never know.
I know.
That's why we play the games, guys. That's why we play.
You hear
games.
That, TCU? It's bulletin board material for you to.
Max was
at.
In the building yesterday.
Wrong with Michigan.
Yes, Max got a nice. Max go got a nice. With, nice round of applause.
Here today, on his way to Baltimore, then on his way to New York.
On his
way
to New York.
Big week for young Max Duggan.
Wait, what's Baltimore? Sorry.
The Johnny Unitas
Award.
So he'll pick that up in Baltimore, then he'll head up to New York for the Heisman. So for Kelvin Joseph, I started to look at these receiving corps: Philadelphia, San Francisco, Minnesota, Tampa Bay. You know, these are the kind of receiving corps you're talking about playing in the playoffs. And you're right. Where's number one?
No longer too worried about it from the San Francisco front, but otherwise your point stands.
Because Devontae Smith's going to eat him alive.
I'm not worried about him
Adam
versus
Thielen.
Purdy.
Adam Thielen's going to eat him alive.
I'm not worried about him versus Purdy, but the other teams, you have a very good
point. And so while you say that, you get a guy like Kyle Shanahan who can scheme up some pretty good plays. Mm. And all of a sudden, hey, man, just get somebody, run a go route, Next thing you know, Kelvin bites on it. You're trying to sit up here and hold.
Like you want Kelvin on Ayuk?
And next thing
opposite
you know,
him?
Right, yeah.
Mm-mm, that's not what you want.
And then all a flag is out here. You got yourself a 30 or 40 yard penalty, and you're in trouble. So all it takes is one play in
that's
a game
not what
like
you want.
That. Yeah, one play. That's all you need. One mistake, and even Brock Purdy could do that. So
unleash the Sheffield. And this is not me saying that Sheffield is the definitive answer. I'm saying that he's been here long enough on the practice squad that he should be at a point that we should see him on the field to see if he's the answer. Show me.
Oh, I think that's going to eventually happen.
Show me.
So I'm at DEFCON 5, and maybe.
Hey,
maybe
real quick on the when we were talking earlier about not knowing everything with a player, mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect example. Like we'll sit there in the offseason, we'll be trying to connect the dots on guys. Like, why wouldn't they be interested in them? Who's a free agent right now out there is Kevin King that was with the Packers. Yeah, obviously, Mike McCarthy liked him enough, but he's out there, and there's no talking. But like, it's just one of those things that you see him, you're like, oh, hey, what about him? There's obviously a reason that nobody is signing that player. There's just stuff that we don't know as much as what they're going to know in the scouting department and the coaching staff, because that, to me, would seem like a perfect. They want long corners. He's a tall corner. They obviously thought enough of him to take him high in the draft when he was in Green Bay, and he's a
free
agent.
See, the lasting image I have of Kevin King is Tom Brady in the NFC title game.
And
Kevin
who
are we King.
Talking about the Cowboys might have to go face?
Those memories could look pretty similar just against a different player, if that's what it comes down to. Right.
Yes. Fun media mash. Appreciate it. Patrick, Walcott, Kevin, Greg, John Machota. I knew he scrubs. We'll do it tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time right here on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!